Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast, named after the fictional small town found in several of author Michael DeCamp's books. This podcast explores anything related to creativity. You'll hear interviews with creative people, such as authors, artists, performers, and entrepreneurs, sprinkled with friendly banter about any number of topics, all of which attempt to view the world through the lens of creativity. Turn up the volume and enjoy the latest conversations in Cutter's Notch.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Cutter's Notch podcast, or welcome for your first time if you've never been here before. I am your host, Mike DeCamp. My normal co-host, Nancy DeCamp. My beautiful co-host, Nancy DeCamp. Well, she's not here today. She's off running around the world doing her business thing. So she's on a business trip. So I am running solo, and I have our mutual friend, Wayne Evans, with me today. I've been thinking about doing a podcast with Wayne for a while. We call him Wally.
Sure, that is true.
But that's just a small group of us.
Small group, very right. High school-like. Someone says, I know that exactly, it's high school.
Very select group, right?
Yes.
And I'm pleased to be part of that group. So he lets me get away with it. But his name in the rest of the world is Wayne Evans, and I find him rather hysterical. So I've been wanting to have him on for a while and just thought I would take this opportunity, since Nancy's out and about gallivanting in the world, to have this podcast with Wayne all by myself.
So, now the pressure's on. Thank you. All right.
Yeah. Welcome to the podcast, Wayne.
Oh, thanks, Mike. It's really good. Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised when I received your message saying, please do this if you want to. And I'm like, yeah.
You said it's very good. You said that before we did the podcast. Sure. So
yes.
You're pre-planning for this to be a very good podcast.
It's going
to
be the best ever. All right. You're scraping the bottom of the barrel. I get it. All right.
Now, one of the things Nancy and I are working really hard on is not talking over the top of one another. So I'm going to try to do that with you. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
No,
you did a really good job. I think we almost matched it. I think you could do that.
Almost. So, well, we always very good. So, you did it. See, folks, this is what we're going to do today. There's a few things that Wally's really cool about. One, he loves books and music and movies, just like your favorite hosts of this podcast. He travels a lot, so he's got stories and he's got tips from traveling. And when I say traveling, I don't mean he's going from Indianapolis to Muncie. I mean he's going from Indianapolis to Asia or somewhere else in another part of the world.
And not to say Muncie is not a great place to visit. So just say that, all right?
It's a great place to visit. Yes, very, very much so. And so I got, so he may have some tips or stories for us on that. And then he just loves puns. He can't talk without puns or dad jokes. And so we're just going to have a lot of fun talking for a while, and we'll see how this goes. So hopefully you enjoy it. Now, time for creative indulgences. And Nancy's not here to give me the first spot, so I'm just going to take it. She usually finds a way to jump in and ask me what my creative indulgence is before I ask her. So she puts me on the spot. I'll just take the spot. Today's creative indulgence for me is I got a new book by Stephen King called Never Flinch. Now, I got this book for free because of a contest on a Facebook page called Sharing Books that I'm a part of. The actual name of the Facebook page or group, I guess it's a group, is Sharing Books. And they had a membership drive, and I invited a bunch of friends to join the Sharing Books group. And enough of them did that I came in second place, and they sent me a free book. And I got Stephen King's Never Flinch. And this is actually the fourth in the Holly Gibney series. So The Outsiders, the book just called Holly, there's a short novel called If It Bleeds. I think there's another one in there. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But Never Flinch, it is a return of Holly Gibney, and it's more of a mystery than supernatural. So it's, I don't know if he'll have some supernatural stuff in there. I'm sure there's going to be some horror involved, but so far it's kind of a murder mystery. Not really a mystery, just kind of a thriller. So I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I'm about a third of the way through. I'll read you the first paragraph of the back cover blurb, which is actually on the inset of the cover page. So it says, when the Buckeye City Police Department receives a disturbing letter from a person threatening to kill 13 innocents and one guilty to atone for the needless death of an innocent man, Detective Izzy Janes has no idea what to think. Are 14 citizens about to be slaughtered in an act of deranged retribution? As the investigation unfolds, Izzy realizes that the letter writer is deadly serious, and she turns to her friend Holly Gibney for help.
Wow.
So I love the Holly Gibney character, so I'm looking forward to see how this goes.
When is Holly Gibney became part of the Stephen King universe? Was it
recently? It's probably about 10 years ago.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of the name of the book. It was Oh Gosh. I'd have to look it up.
It was called by Oh Gosh. I got
Yeah, it was called up. Oh Gosh. I got to look it up.
That's I don't remember that one by Stephen King.
I'll look it up.
Okay.
So what's your creative indulgence?
Oh, right now, I mean, I have several. So, but since we'll stay on the horror theme is that I've been watching, or I should say listening to Evolution of Horror podcast, and I don't remember the name, but the people who do it, but it's a British podcaster. And so he talks about movies related to horrors, and he has a specific genres that he looks at. The second season is based on ghost. So I was listening to a bunch of ghost podcasts, and part of that is I sit and I watch actually the movies they're talking about. So I finished the entire series, which was maybe about 39 movies. And now I'm going back and I'm looking at the sequels to those. There were some really great ghost stories that I've never even heard of before. One is called Whistle and I'll Come to You. It was a British TV BBC show. I guess part of Charles Dickens, you know, having a ghost story. The BBC decided in the 1960s to do that on Christmas Eve. It lasted all the way up to maybe 78 or 79, but the first one was by an author called M.R. James, and they did a screenplay for it. It's beautiful. It's creepy, scary. And I think the reason I related to it so much is I am a scientist. I have degrees in microbiology and chemistry and organic chemistry and all that stuff, even master's degrees. So at times I could relate to the character who is very scientific, very methodical, and et cetera, and very skeptical. However, he goes to extreme, and I think they do that to the point where, you know, if there's no logic to it, then he says, forget it. Oh, it makes fun of you. But he finds a bone, basically is a whistle, a femur, when he's walking around at a cottage, and he blows into it. And when he blows into it, weird things start happening. And I can tell you that the movie, it's only an hour show. The seeing just sheets rise up from a bed was quite scary. All right. It was so good that I actually bought the book by M.R. James. And so I'm reading that right now. And he's known from in the 1900s to write very short stories regarding horror. And they're pretty freaky, but very enjoyable.
Do you find when you're reading, you watch a movie or a show and then you get the book that it was made from, typically, do you like the book better or the show better?
Good question. Now I understand why you have this podcast, right? So you ask great questions.
I do occasionally. Well, sometimes they're just stupid questions. That's when Nancy jumps in.
I like stupid, right?
So. She's not here to take over. So, we're just going to have fun.
Okay. That's a good question. And there's always different answers to that. And then mine's going to be in the middle, right? Sometimes the books are great. Sometimes the movies are better. For example, we'll stay on Stephen King. The Shining, the book, is wonderful. All right.
Yeah.
It goes in great detail about and I forget the character's name, but Jack Torrance. Yes. And how, why he became that way and et cetera. I mean, basically alcoholic, the tricycle scene, right? Running over a bike or presumably running over a bike, mm-hmm. all the things are going in to that as well. plus the hedge monsters, I guess is the best way to say it, you know, in the book is just frightening. All right.
Yeah.
But the movie, wow. First of all, Stanley Kubrick. Wow. All right. You know, when you see that, this is a Stanley Kubrick movie. All right. You know, you're going to get hidden messages upon hidden messages upon hidden messages. And the way it's done, even with Shelley Duvall, how they act and et cetera, it's great. So they removed the entire monster, hedge monsters.
The hedge monsters were gone.
Gone. Yeah. But they replaced with a labyrinth. But then if you actually look at the entire, how Kubrick did it, layer upon layer upon layer, you know, it's a game being played, you know, so it's a maze, you know. How many times we hear, oh my goodness, you know, that this house that's in is so huge, it's like a maze. Well, then you have the maze outside as well with the labyrinth. So, and you see that Jack Torrance is getting lost in it. You see that the kids and the wife are struggling with it as well. And the best part of that movie is it really psychosis? Is this really happening? Is it basically maybe what was happening in the past with his relationship with his child and et cetera, being abusive and alcoholic? All right. Or is there really scary monsters there? Right. So, and that's the best part about it. It's just because there's so many questions after that. So I
loved at the very end of the movie when they pan up to the group photo.
Yeah.
And there in the middle of the group photo from what, 1923
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
Is Jack Torrance.
Yeah.
He's become a part of the house.
He's always was there. The best thing about all that is that the use of the mirrors, if you can see that. Because when Jack Nicholson is looking into the screen, he's actually, you're seeing his view as the mirror. So that's where the question comes in. Is this really a ghost he's talking about? Or is he just lost in his, all right, in his own delusion, et cetera. All right. Mm-hmm. But there's several questions like who let him out of the ice?
Who let the dogs out?
Who let the, whoop. It was me. All right. Sorry. All right. So sorry for all the bad Jones there. So.
Oh, well, it's all right. It's all right. Who let him out?
I almost sang the song, but I'm glad I didn't. So, all right. But no, it's a great movie. So again, the book is great, but the movie is just as great as well.
Recently I read, you know, the movie, The Outlaw Josie Wales. Actually, that came from a book. It's not a horror book, but it's a book. It came from a book. And I read the book after I absolutely loved the movie.
Yeah.
It's one of those movies that if I'm scrolling through television and it's on, it stops right there. I can't tell you how many times I've watched it.
Yeah.
If we wanted to take a break from the podcast and go watch it right now, I'd probably say, okay, let's do it. But I actually found the book that the movie was made from. And I found the book as entertaining, but in a different way than the movie, even though it followed the book very, very closely. I just found it very entertaining, but in a different way. Some books, it seems like they don't translate them to movies really well. And I understand why, because they're trying to condense a big set of details into a small window. But still, like your example of The Shining, Stanley Kubrick did an exceptional job of taking the story and making it his own for the movie. And I think that's probably the key.
We usually call that, my brothers and I would say, the outlaw Jose de Wales, just because, again, we play on the word with Wally. All right, so.
Oh, there you go. Now we'll never be able to unhear that.
Perfect. It worked. So
the book that the Holly Gibney thing started from, I did manage to look it up while you were talking. I was not paying attention to you, so I was... was instead trying to answer your question.
Sure, I understand.
It started with Mr. Mercedes, which they made a TV series out of that, a limited series out of it. But it's the Mr. Mercedes. It was the Bill Hodges trilogy.
Wow.
So it starts with that, and then it has Finders Keepers and End of Watch. And then there's the book Holly. I think If It Bleeds and Never Flinch. So she's been through several of those books.
So where does I Don't Know, I Look It Up book come in? Is that part of the trilogy?
Probably his next in the series. Okay. Right. As soon as he listens to this podcast, Mr. King, that's an idea for you. If you happen to listen to this podcast, and also I'd love to come down to Sarasota and hang out with you.
That'd be cool.
That'd be fun. I have a feeling I will not hear from him though. After we spent all this time talking about The Shining.
Yeah. So, and again, I like Stephen King. I'm glad you were reading that. So, but I haven't read a Stephen King novel since about 10 years ago. I think the last one I read was Cell. I really liked it. But after that, I just stopped reading Stephen King.
Well, I tend to be a little bit critical of Stephen King, which is kind of stupid of me, considering he's like this super awesome author, and I'm this pretty unknown author who is a wannabe from some perspectives. But I sometimes I just didn't like how he ended books.
Oh,
so like the Dark Tower series, I didn't like how it ended.
Really? Because that's like one of my favorite series. I think the ending is perfect for that.
Really?
Yes. It's almost like when I
was so frustrated when he got to the end. I was just like,
me, that was a classic because for those who read Stephen King, he does great. If there's 1,000 pages, there's 990 dedicated to character development, what's going on, the forces of good versus forces of evil, and et cetera. And then it's done in 5 to 10 pages. So I think that was some of the criticisms that he got for The Stand, which then he expanded a little bit more, which I haven't read, but I read the original. So, but this one, it was captivating all the way up to the end as well. I liked it. It was different. So it was so different that I don't know if a lot of people remember the series called, now I forgot about it, where they go back and they jump back into the past. Quantum Leap.
Oh, yeah. Quantum Leap. That's one of Nancy and I's favorite old TV shows.
With Scott Bakula. So yeah. I like the whole premise that, you know, Scott Bakula, will something happen, we'll go back and he will go back in the important time and et cetera. The way that ended, I wished it would have ended just like with the Stand. If they Quantum Leap took the Stand ending and did that.
Or the Dark Tower?
I'm sorry, the Dark Tower. So, yeah. Apologies. So,
Time you apologized.
You heard it first. All right. So
I got it on tape.
Oh my gosh.
Not really on tape. I got it on digital.
I can't take it back. So, you know, he's going to put it
I'm going to put that at the beginning of the podcast. That's what I'm going to start with. I'm sorry.
I apologize. There, I'll say it again. So, but if they took the Quantum Leap, that one, I didn't like how it ended. It was okay. But if they took the Dark Tower ending and put it in that, I think it would have been beautiful as well.
Yeah. See, I the Dark Tower ending just frustrated me to no end. I felt like I have been reading these books for years now. I waited years to get each one of them.
Yeah.
And then we get down to the end and that happens. Now, I'm not telling the audience on this podcast what that is, but if you've read the series, you know what that is. And either you loved it like Wally, or you didn't like it like me.
Hence I was vague with Quantum Leap, how they ended as well. Cause there's some people that may want to go out and watch that. Cause there's been a big pickup for sci-fi series, from 80s and 90s, of people wanting to go back and look at that. So
I'm watching a sci-fi series right now. Strange New Worlds, Star Trek's newest, latest, and greatest.
What season are you on?
Season 3, the current season. Okay. So they just started it a few weeks ago. I didn't realize it until this week, so I've kind of binged 4 episodes. Now I got to wait until Thursday to get the next one.
Well, I normally wait till the season's over with before I watch it.
So, oh, do you?
So I watched season 1 and 2. I like what they did with Gorn, made it a little bit more scary and et cetera. I also like that they went back to the format of one episode right? And then even though I like arcs, because again, Deep Space Nine, the entire 7 seasons is one huge arc. I love it. All right. I'll just say that's my favorite sci-fi Star Trek. So, but that's another thing.
Which one?
Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space Nine. There was a series called Deep Space Nine?
Yes, there was. All right. So.
I watched it too. Yeah. I enjoyed it. Not as much as The Next Generation, but I enjoyed it.
Everybody loves The Next Generation. And then us old folks like the original series. I like what they did with it. I think the last, Picard, I don't know if you watched Picard or not.
I did,
I like that there were several nods to Deep Space Nine. And that was just beautifully done. So sometimes I feel like they're the Harry Potter. They're the stepchild that, you know, is not recognized a lot. They're like, oh yeah, they're part, but you know, let's not talk about them. All right. So, but I'm glad they brought it back a little bit there.
Did you like Discovery?
You mean Disco?
No,
I mean, come Discovery. On, Disco. It's Discovery. Disco, right? Come on. Yes and no.
Who let the dogs out?
Whoop. You did. All right.
So yes and no, you didn't. You did and you didn't like Discovery.
Yes, there were. It seemed like it didn't know where it was going. All right. And then once it did figure it out, I like the fact that once we got it all, I mean, almost like a Stephen King, right? The first two seasons where they set up what was going on, and then all of a sudden they, boom, they went to the future. I like that. All right.
Yeah.
But that's where it kind of got yes and no again. All right. The no is, you know, there's no, and I hope this is not ruining a lot for people, but there's no warp drive, right? So what happened? Well, we find out why. I hated how that they did that. Okay. However, it led to the next, season four, which was basically something happening and planets are being eaten up, right? And so they try to figure out what it is. And there was one episode that reminded me specifically why I fell in love with Star Trek, the original series, because it was mostly on how do we communicate with these people? How do we communicate with these aliens? How we do this? Oh, let's figure out this. Let's do this and et cetera. And I felt like I was watching an old Star Trek episode.
How did you get into the original Star Trek? You would barely have been old enough to watch it when it was in its first run. Did you watch it in first run or did you catch it later in when it was in reruns?
It was first run. This is one of those things where I pick up a lot of characteristics from my dad and he loved Star Trek. I remember sitting with him watching it during the late 60s, I guess it would say, and watching it originally with them.
My older annoying brothers, they would have watched Star Trek or they would have watched Journey to the Center of the Earth or things like that. I wanted to watch Lassie and Gentle Ben and, you know, things like that. That was my speed until middle school. And my buddy, Jerry Davis, got me into Star Trek.
Wow.
And we became Star Trek nerds in middle school. And I had handmade phasers and communicators. Cool.
Before
he was Mr. Spock and I was Captain Kirk.
Okay. All right. Because he's more logical, which makes sense that you guys actually play to your strong points.
Yeah. And I'm more of a ladies man.
Exactly.
That might be a stretch,
Nancy's not here, so maybe she can't confirm nor deny.
I was a pretty chubby seventh grader, so I don't know. I don't think I was much of a ladies' man. He had a girlfriend in eighth grade. I didn't, so what can I say?
So did you watch it after school? Because that's when it was syndicated. That was one of my favorite things coming home is that we would watch Star Trek, and in some cases, the Brady Bunch, right, it was on. Yeah. But
the other one I watched after school for a while was Dark Shadows.
Yeah, I love that. So
with Barnabas Collins.
Yeah.
If you all don't know what that is, I'm not talking about the Johnny Depp movie. I'm talking about the actual soap opera.
Yeah.
It was a horror soap opera. It was on in the 1960s and it would be on when I would get home from school.
Yeah. My mom was a big fan of that. So there was times I watched that. Now, several years ago, I started rewatching some of that because again, they're coming out to be syndicated or you can buy the disc and stuff like that.
I started watching them on, I think it might have been Netflix, maybe. Oh. I can't remember if it was Netflix or Prime. I watched a few episodes, and then I'm just like, boy, it did take forever for anything to actually happen.
And that's the thing, yeah. When I started rewatching it, I'm like, I don't remember the first season being so boring, but, you know, it was setting up for everything. I think that's just part of human nature, right? We remember the great stuff, and then when we sit down and actually go through the process again, it's like, well, no, that... forever to get to that part, whatever. So
believe it or not, folks, you actually couldn't binge things back then. You had to wait till the next episode came out. Now we're used to being able like, hey, I like that. And we'll just keep watching it for hours and hours and hours and hours.
That's the best thing about streaming right now. Or even when you got purchase what disc and CDs or whatever, you know, you can listen to something over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about your favorite books and movies of the last, let's say the last few months.
Last few months?
Yeah, stands out. And by the way, I haven't been to the movie theater. And I can't tell you how long. I'm not sure the last time I went to the theater. And I used to absolutely love going to the movies. And I would go, you know, a couple times a month, I would go to the movies. And I'd go to late movies. Now I can't stay up that late.
Well, I mean, if you're asking about theater movies, the last theater movie I went to see was Godzilla Minus One.
Godzilla Minus One. Yeah,
and I love that.
Was that a true Japanese Godzilla or is it one of the new series?
It's by Toho. Godzilla? It's by Toho. So it's a kind of a reboot. And it's just wonderful.
I used to love the old Godzilla movies when the Japanese folks would say something and their mouth would move, and then and then the words didn't match their mouth. But things were blowing up and cities were getting leveled, so it was worth it.
Except for when Godzilla was doing the high flying kick and stuff like that. That I didn't like,
or the karate kicks, the
karate stuff. So I'm more the original, whether it was 53, 54, where he came out where you weren't quite sure if he was good or bad or neutral. So this goes back to that. Basically, they rebooted it. It's great because it does homage to the original, with the train scene, the reporters, the bubbling and et cetera, and the sea, how Godzilla became the way he is. I like that. But basically it's also a nod to what was happening, post Japan World War II. And it's very human element. I mean, a lot of it is just human drama, and, it's just, again, I probably overused that word a lot, but it was beautifully done. So, and I know it led to then the other theater movie I watched was Godzilla and Kong, which I totally hate. Not because I don't like King Kong or Godzilla.
Was this a new one?
Yeah, it was a new one. Okay. So it I have a whole weird theory about the alter universe or the deep hollow earth and the blue axe and all that fun stuff, which, it's just annoying. But
you travel a lot. I mentioned that earlier. So you're on long flights. Do you watch movies when you're on the flight?
Yes and no. I usually bring a book. So I read a book a little bit. And then when my eyes get a little strained, then I start watching movies. So that can be anywhere between 3 to 4 movies. And then I break and read a chapter or two in a book just to give me a break.
So you'll watch 3 or 4 movies in a row.
Yeah. And these, I should explain, this is if I'm going to Asia. If I'm going to Europe, it's usually maybe 2, all right, because it's like 7 hours. So I'm reading and then watching a movie.
Yeah.
But in Asia, it's a good 14, 15, 17 hours, depending on where you're at. I usually watch a lot of movies. And that's where I get introduced to international movies as well.
What was the last movie you watched on an airplane?
It was terrible. The one that I did like, you asked me and I'm drawing a blank, but Death of a Unicorn was actually not too bad.
Of a Unicorn.
Yeah. It has, the lady, I keep forgetting her name, who played Wednesday now. She's very, Ortega is her name.
Jenna Ortega.
Yes. So, yeah. And I forget the other guy. I'm really bad at actors. I just like a movie and that's, it was really good. Except for, again, the ending was a little kind of weird, but it was a nice idea of, there's a unicorn and what happens with that. So
it obviously died.
It died and it has magical powers. Let's put it that way.
Mm. Okay. Last book you read on an airplane.
Last book I read was called, it was by Harry Turtledove. I really like Harry Turtledove as a author. He does what they call sideways history or science fiction, which means he takes something historical and then if he changes it a little bit to what happened. He's really big and he had a World War II series about if aliens landed and if the everybody got together and fought against them. He also had a good series of what happened if the Confederates won in the Civil War and what would happen after that, and then he expanded it all the way up to 1980, which was pretty scary how things went, but it was still pretty good as well.
So it's like alternate history, kind of like Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Killer.
Yes, which I liked the book, the movie, not so much.
I enjoyed the movie. I got a kick out of it. Now I went and saw,
it's like eye candy.
What was it? What was the one with, the Jane Austen story. It was Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies.
Yes.
I didn't like that one nearly as much, but
it had zombies in it. Come on.
Oh, it did. But I like vampires better.
Then you'll like Sinners.
I haven't watched that yet.
And I should retract. That was actually the last movie I seen. I saw that with our mutual friend, Dana.
Oh, right. Dana went to that one?
Yeah, Dana. She actually told me, hey, it has zombies in it. I'm thinking, oh, this is great. It has zombies because I love zombies. Right? And then, I don't know if everybody's seen it, but there's a scene And I'm looking at, because we went with her son, and I looked at her son and said, that's not a zombie. That's a vampire. And he's like, yeah, I know. And I said, but your mom says zombies. He goes, yeah, that's my mom. Right. So.
We should have Dane on here with us.
We would not get a word in.
Probably not.
But and I talk a lot and you talk a lot. But
We have to talk over her.
Yes.
So yeah, she's a sweetheart. Yeah. We love Dana. Great so stories. Dana, if you listen to this, we do love you. Regardless of what Wally does, he loves you. Okay.
Definitely.
I treat you with respect and appreciation, but he loves you.
Yes. Yes. So she's a great friend.
So. Yes, she is. Absolutely. We had a great little friend group, I think. I was telling Nancy recently that I really love our little friend group. You know, you and Teresa and Dana and Linda and, you know, the others, everybody, you know, it's just Mark, you know, it's great when we all get together. And I really appreciate Mark because he actually contributed to my last book. Excellent. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
In the Purveyor of Death, when you flip it open, the first couple pages is a map of Cutter's Notch. He made that. He made that map based off a sketch I did, but he made it on his CAD system and I included it
in the book. I think it was helpful. I liked that last book. It was good. It was very entertaining.
Well, thank you. Tell that to everybody.
I think I just did. So I liked the last book.
Yeah,
so.
You liked it and Nancy liked it. You know, when I get that duality between you and Nancy both loving it, I know I've got a great product. Right. Cause you're at the different ends of the spectrum on personalities. And if you both liked it, I'm like, hey, I've hit a home run here. So.
Well, if Nancy and I are your baseline for acceptance, the bar is really low. All right. So I appreciate that. But,
I like low bars. I can reach my beer easier. That's true.
But you can't go limbo underneath it. So that's no, the problem. But you can jump over it.
It's hard to go limbo under a bar.
Yeah. That's true.
You could bump your head on it. Yeah. And knock it off and then your beer gets spilled. Yeah. So that's all bad stuff happens when the bar's too low.
Well, I mean, the common thing is a guy walks in the bar and goes, ouch. Right. So, I mean,
oops,
a duck walks in the bar and goes quack. So, all right. So,
so let's go to travel tips. So what, give us a couple of travel tips. For those of us who haven't become the world traveler that you are, what's a cool
first of all, always make sure you bring a suitcase because if you just walk around with clothes hanging off on you and et cetera, the people are just going to look at you.
I think I saw something recently where somebody got on an airplane and they were wearing like 5 shirts, and 3 pairs of pants. It's like they're trying to do only carry on, not have to check their bag.
So bring a suitcase. I know some people may look at you if you're wearing your underwear on top of your head, but still put in a suitcase. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, right? That's true. Right? That's true.
But it depends on where you're going, but I would always say make sure that you have enough cash that you can exchange it to the present currency. You're going to find a lot of countries do not.
That's a real tip.
Yes.
Oh,
that's a real
that's
tip.
That's a legitimate
I know,
tip.
I gave you. So here's another.
I wasn't
another.
Expecting
I know,
that.
I know. See, I threw a curveball. You were looking for a slider and I threw a curveball for you. So some places are actually using QRs or electronic currency. So make sure you're up to date with that. So
how about credit cards? Do they transfer across different countries or is this hit and miss on that?
Hit and miss. You're going to find if you go to China, no, forget it. So you need to have a QR code. You have to go through their bank and et cetera, or bring a lot of cash. But even then you'll find that sometimes they don't want to do that. Particularly in Europe, sometimes they won't accept your credit card because there's new laws in European Union that says, you know, we're going to do certain things and et cetera. And if you do that, then we're going to cost more for if you use credit cards, right? Finance charge and et cetera. So they accept cash. I've had several people on my last one said, oh, I know you paid in a credit card last time, but right now we're going to demand that you pay in cash. I'm thinking, okay. So
did you find that out when you got to the desk or was that something that you knew in advance?
I found out at the desk. So it's kind of weird walking in, flashing a card. Hey, because then I become that ugly American. Damn it. Look,
I'm an American.
I'm an American.
I'm an American.
Look at my card.
I need the best room. I need the best food. I need you to cater to me.
Exactly. So
I'm an American.
Plus, with me traveling, how I do things is the adventure is, hey, look, that looks like it's a really cool place to eat. It's not Americanized, so let me try it.
And so you don't like to go to, let's say, London and eat at Olive Garden.
I would love to go to London, and I have several times, but I have not eaten at an Olive Garden. I don't know if they are in London.
I wouldn't be surprised. Right. Nancy has been to Costa Rica recently.
She's
and there's an Olive Garden around the corner from her hotel.
Wow.
And one of her coworkers is like, yeah, at least there's an Olive Garden nearby. And she's like,
are you kidding me?
I'm not coming to Costa Rica and eating an Olive Garden.
Well, I know people even say, well, you know, when you're traveling, do you go to McDonald's or Burger King or Pizza Hut or stuff like that? Because there a lot of those are there. All right. And I'm like, no, but the food is different. And yes, I agree. They do cater the food to that. So you're going to find in Japan, you'll have what they call a black Agnes burger, which is unique. And then you're going to find other places as well. So I just
said Agnes or Angus,
maybe. I don't know.
So, a black Agnes.
Right. So maybe I'm having ACDC. It's
problematic. That's right. Problematic.
So,
right there.
That's right. So man, soy and green, maybe that's the problem. But, so I have eaten at McDonald's only because, hey, you're traveling. And that's the only places there. So then you buy something and it's like, well, I broke my rule not eating at McDonald's or whatever else because I'm in a foreign country, but sometimes you need to, but I normally just go to what's local. So,
you know, I had that rule on my recent 2-week driving epic adventure. It was that I wasn't going to eat at any chain restaurant during the trip.
Regional chain or just local national chain?
National chain. I didn't want to eat at national chains on the trip. My very first stop for lunch, Arby's. Dinner that night, Pizza Hut.
Wow, you really.
But after that, after that, now I stuck to it.
Yeah, you went to Burger King next, right?
No, I actually stuck to it. My breakfast the next morning was at Sherry's Restaurant.
Was that in Fargo?
Ishpeming, Michigan. I can't say the name of the city because I don't know how to pronounce it properly.
Well, I just thought you didn't want to share that information.
Well, I said it. I just don't know that I said it correctly. And then I ate at another local restaurant in Superior, Wisconsin. And then
was it much better? Because it was Superior.
Well, they had, I wish I could remember the name of the restaurant. They had a cream cheese and olive burger. It was like their dish, burger.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I got to try it. I'm on an adventure. So I got it and I ate it. I forced myself to eat it, but it was a little too much. Cream cheese and olive for me. It would have been better if it was more of a spread, but it was a glob. But I forced myself to eat it.
Last year I went to Oklahoma. I'm a big Dodger fan. So one of my, I know a lot of people say that. So, but you know, winners, the haters going to hate. So, but
the Brooklyn Dodgers, they're awesome.
I like the Brooklyn Dodgers. And I like the LA Dodgers. So
they're in LA now.
Yes.
When did that happen?
About a year ago.
I got you all the way off of Oklahoma.
I know you did. So, but I do remember that Oklahoma is where the AAA and AA team are for the Dodgers. So my trips are usually, I have a theme. So last year was, I wanted to see the Dodgers.
We have a lot of listeners in Oklahoma, by the way.
They do.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's a great state. I liked it. So it's, was very flat. The thunderstorms come in, you could see it. Wow. Yeah. It came in. Wow. Boom.
I'm going to let you finish your story. Kind of sure like, you know, Kanye let Taylor Swift finish her speech. I'm gonna let you finish. But speaking of Taylor Swift, Kara and Hazel were on this podcast a few months ago because they were in town to see Taylor Swift. Awesome. They're from Oklahoma. And there's lots of Oklahoma people listening to that particular episode over. I mean, it's climbing in the charts.
Oh, that's cool.
As far as most listens. So I was really excited about that. So talk to the Oklahoma people. What was it you had there that was so amazing?
It was a musical.
Now that I've set you up, you got to really come through here.
It was a musical. You know, the winds come sweeping down the plains. I just like, wow, I got to go there.
Oh, Oklahoma.
I'm going to sing. So
I just did. I sang for both of us.
So I was told that when I was in Oklahoma by people who lived in Oklahoma that I need to try the onion burger. All right. Have you heard of the onion burger?
No. Tell me about the onion burger.
During Depression, in order to make sure that the hamburger would last longer, they would smash onions in it. So they would use less meat, but more onions. And so they would serve that. They still do that. So there's such special places that they say, you know, home of the onion burger. And it was quite delicious.
Wow. So, wow.
I mean, it's stuffed with onions, but it's really good. I try to do what is local, and that was something that was local, and it was very tasty.
Oh, very cool.
So even if you don't like onions, you couldn't tell. All right. But it's almost like, I guess, if you like White Castle or not, right? But,
yeah. There's plenty of onions on a White Castle too. Yeah, so. White Castle, the best laxative on the market.
I love White Castle. So
I like them once in a while. I used to love them a lot, and I would get like a gajillion of them to eat. And now if I have two, that's plenty.
You're gassed up for the rest of the day.
I'm gassed up for the rest of the week.
You yep. follow with the Taco Bell.
I don't need to go to the gas station anymore.
That's right. Yeah, I got gas for, $1.29 at White Castle, right?
Yeah, it stinks, doesn't it? Prices stink.
I didn't get very far, but it's okay.
All right, so cool. What's some of the coolest things that you have eaten in foreign countries?
I just got back from Japan, and I had rice. I'm like, what is this? Because usually I eat couscous. Couscous is good, but it was kind of like, wow, what is this? Is this a rice thing?
So it's like super couscous. Super,
yeah. So, we went to, I just stumbled upon a fair. I had one day that I had free.
You stumbled upon an affair.
Yes. So, and they were totally
kind of like at one of those concerts.
Yeah. They were totally surprised. They're like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I'm here for the rice. What the heck's going on? All right. So,
okay. I screwed that all up. So you stumbled on what? What did you stumble?
I stumbled upon a local regional fair.
Fair.
Yes.
Okay.
So
not an affair, just a fair.
Yes. Okay. It was, I was going to go to see the largest stone Buddha, but it was 99 degrees in Tokyo. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. So I figured out how to do the train systems and et cetera. And I went to a small museum and where the Tokyo National Museum is. And it was great. And after ending the day, there's this huge festival and I was asked to eat certain food. They realized, I know this is going to sound weird, they realized that I was not from their country. And so
I wonder what made that.
It was probably the Dodger hat. So
it probably was.
And they asked me in English.
And the fact that you were wearing underwear
on top of my head. Yeah. Because I didn't bring a suitcase. I broke my foot.
Which is what a Dodgers hat looks like.
Right? Oh, ouch. All right.
That was terrible. I apologize to Dodger fans everywhere.
My gosh.
I really don't feel that way. It just felt funny and it came out of my mouth. I apologize to you.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Steve Garvey. By the way, so
most people aren't, but that's okay. So
this baseball play was really great. This politics, maybe not so much, but go ahead. Okay. Go ahead.
All right. If I can remember where I was at, I feel like this is a meandering river. We're just going all over the place.
Well, you were having an affair.
I was having an affair with a lady
at a Coldplay concert.
Yeah. So, the lady in perfect English said, "Hey, how are you?" And I'm like, "I'm fine." She's like, "Would you like to try my squid?" And I'm like, sure, why not? So I walked over. I actually saw her prepare it and et cetera. And I took a bite out of it. And she's just like, "Wow, you really like it." And I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "Thank you. Hey, you spoke English to me. So that's good."
It taste better because it was spoken with English?
It was spoken in English. It was made by Chinese people who speak English. So but that, I think that was the only word she knew was, "Hey, would you like to try my squid?" Hey,
would you try my squid? That's all she knew.
That's all she knew. So
she spent hours practicing that.
And now there's a video of me. "Look, see, even people from the United States love my squid. Please come and visit." So, but I stumbled upon other places as well. I loved the, I think in China they call them pot stickers, but you know, they're basically stuffed dumplings, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So I found a couple of those. There's a huge microbrewery or home brewing happening as well. So when they realized I was from, again, I don't know how they figured out how I was not from Japan. I still can't figure it out. They said, "Hey, would you like to have a taste of this?" And
it must be that Dodgers.
It must have been a Dodger. So
they look at you and they're like, "Steve Garvey?
Steve Garvey.
Steve Garvey.
You're not Big Poppy." So
Lasorda, you're Lasorda.
Lasorda. So I tried microbrew. They actually say, hey, we'd like to try that. So, and then it's like, oh, what'd you think? I'm thinking, wow, I'm not a beer connoisseur, even though I do used to drink a lot of local brews. But it's like, wow, this is, you know, this is really good. So, had a good time, spent about 3 hours there, saw some, reenacting of YMCA, the song. And it was funny how everybody was just into it. So again, it shows how,
was it a reenactment or karaoke?
It was a reenactment. They had about 12 people on stage and they kind of, I shouldn't say force, but everybody got involved.
Did the hand motions?
The hand motions, dancing. So again, it's wonderful to see that when you go to a couple places that music expands everywhere. Mm. You see what it's like, and it's like, oh, wow, we have something. So
that was in China, right?
That was in Japan.
Oh, it was in Japan. Yeah. Okay. Why? Because I asked the karaoke thing because I know in Japan, they love karaoke in Japan. Mm-hmm. Very much. They love it. They love karaoke in Japan. So that's kind of cool. Now, sometime back, I remember you telling the story on a trip. I think it was a European trip.
I'm not doing that now.
You're not telling the story?
I'm wearing Depends, so.
Yeah. I'm not going to pamper you. Okay. I'm just not going to pamper you.
Let the dogs out.
Right. But you had this story of something to do with your air conditioning. You were at a hotel and they kept turning the air conditioning off. Oh, gosh. Well, what's the story on that? I found that one to be kind of funny. So
you like that one.
Where was this at?
It was in Saint-Quentin, France.
Okay.
Which is maybe an hour and a half away from Paris. It's a nice train ride from Paris, or maybe, like I said, an hour and a half drive if you have to. So the place I was going to is actually outside of that. So that may be a 30-mile drive, but they didn't have any hotels there. But Saint-Quentin is like the big place to go to. When I say big place, it's not huge. It's a very small place. So I was put up into a hotel. Majority of hotels in Europe do not have air conditioning at all. They just open up the windows and et cetera, because really the climate there it doesn't require that, right?
Right.
Things have changed now. And I think a lot of places are now considering putting AC in, but this was an old hotel, an old, you know, chateau, which is, you know, again, traveling going, wow, I'm staying in a place that was here for 1,000 years and people stayed here that may be famous or whatever. It's kind of awesome.
So. But it sounds like my mom and dad's house, because in the summertime we didn't have air conditioning. We just opened the windows.
Now, right? Same here. We grew
big
up
with a fan in there and the whole thing, right?
We grew up with that as well. Yeah. We didn't have any, we had fans, but that was about it. So we knew how important we were when we left to go to college, because I had two brothers, is that, you know, when I left, my mom got AC. When Jerry left, she got MTV cable. So with Scott, she refinished the bathroom. Thinking, wow, I didn't realize how much we cost. All right. So
I have two fans. Yeah. One of them lives in Greenwood. The other one is traveling overseas right now. So that's another story, but go ahead.
Okay. Good.
Okay. Go back to the place in France, hotel in France.
So, I've been there several times before, so I realized how warm it gets. And I purchased one of those portable fans that, you know, you just open up, it stands up, and it oscillates a little bit. So it doesn't put out a lot of energy, but at least it cools down.
Moves the air around a little bit.
And I open up the window just to make sure the air flows in, et cetera. But, you know, I travel, so then I come back at maybe 5, 6 p.m. at night. When I come in, the door is of course, shut, but the windows are shut, and my fan's turned off. So it's very stuffy. And a lot of places I've been going to, they don't have AC in the conference rooms as well. So it makes it a little bit difficult. Sure, you can sit in the car, but you know, going 30 minutes to your, from your, plant to the,
you hotel, almost get cooled off.
You almost get cooled off. Then you walk out and you're sweating and you walk in. So, out of frustration, I opened up the window. I turned on the fan and I grabbed a couple towels. I wetted them down and I just put one on my face. All right. And the other one on my neck. And I just sat there and I cooled down. I'm thinking, this is great. All right. The next day I came back, did the same thing. It was almost like a pattern because I knew the windows were going to be closed and my fan was going to be turned off. So that was fine. On the third day I came in, and I should explain a little bit. When you walk in, you actually walk through where the manager sits. All right. And usually they wave and say, bonjour, you know, and whatever else in French, but I don't know because I don't.
Go Dodgers.
No, the man with the underwear on his head.
Yeah.
So they usually wave and et cetera. But this time when I walked in, there were three of them. They were frowning at me. Thinking, oh, this is, you know, this is odd. Something's happening. And then they got up and walked towards me.
Uh-oh.
And they said, are you in this room? I'm like, yeah. And
they said, needed Denzel Washington.
I sure did. So I went Matrix on him. All right. So I started moving slowly and all like that.
You want Keanu.
Keanu. Okay.
John Wickham.
John Wickham. Wickham?
Yeah. No, he's going to Wickham. His name is John Wick, and he's going to John Wickham.
I got it.
So, yeah. So they get up and they're headed toward you.
They're headed toward me. And then they said, hey, by the way, please stop using the towels because they're too wet. And I'm thinking, I don't understand what you mean. And they said, what are you using the towels for? Because every time we go in, they're super wet. I said, well, I use them to dry off, right? I mean, what do you use a towel for? Right. But these are just too wet. I said, I use them because I'm soaking water because when I come in, the window's closed and you turn up my fan. Well, you know, it costs money to run a fan. So if you're not in the room, we're going to turn it off. I said, I get that. I understand that. That's logical. But why are you shutting the window? And they go, because it cools the... It keeps the coolness in. I'm thinking, I disagree. All right. So
based on my experience,
I said, it's stuffy. I said, if you want to close in and keep the fan on, but we already established the baseline there that no, the fan's not going to be on regardless. All right.
It doesn't cost anything to leave the window open.
Right. They go, no, we don't do that. And I said, so when I come back, I wet a towel and I put it on my head. Well, please stop doing that. I said, why? Because it's causing more problems. I'm like, what do you mean it's causing more problems? It's a wet towel. You grab the towels and you probably wash them and dry them. So does it like take more effort to take them out of the room, whatever? No. We just don't like that. And I said, well, this is what I do. If you keep my fan on, you keep the window open, I'll promise you I won't wet a towel. All right. And like, we can't do that. And I'm like, and I can't guarantee that the towel will not be wet.
The great wet towel. Wow.
So
was this a Hilton? No, sounds more like a Holiday Inn. Yeah. I'm picking on you hotels.
Yeah, it's none of those hotels. It was a local regional thing. And actually, I've had really good experience with them. But this time I didn't. So it's going to be interesting because I will return next year and I will let you know. Actually, I'll be there in the wintertime, so it should be okay. Purposely, they say we don't want Wayne here. Unless it's in the wintertime, because our bills for washing towels just goes.
Then they'll in the wintertime they'll leave the window open.
That's right. So, I've been there during what they call La Navidad, which is
Christmas,
mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful town how they establish everything and like that with it's almost like the Kindlemark or Crystalmark or whatever in Germany.
Chris Kindlemark, but Carmel, Indiana. Yeah.
It's French flavor to it. And it's really nice how they decorate the entire town. Again, it's a small city, a small town. So how everybody gets involved with that. So it was pleasant and it was very warm there because they just have a regular old fashioned, you know, against the door or not against the door, but against the wall heater radiator, I guess is the right word. So, so it was, you know, I'm looking forward to that, but, if I have to go back during the summertime, I'll just bring more. I'll bring my own towels. All right. Note to self. So travel tips, bring towels.
Bring a suitcase so you don't wear your underwear on your head.
And then put towels.
And put towels in it. Are you going to dry them before you take them back on the airplane?
No.
Then that adds weight, right?
And, you know, no. You never know when you're going to have put something, all right, to cool yourself down. Yeah. All right.
So you might be on an airplane sometime with a wet towel.
That's right.
Why is Wally in the bathroom so long? In that tiny little airplane bathroom. He's soaking his towel. All right, folks, it is time for the random question.
Oh, my goodness. It went back so quickly.
I just banged my head on the microphone. Okay. Not sure how I did that, but I did.
He was doing heavy metal.
Before we started, folks, I actually brought in a full glass of water. And as I was about to sit down behind the microphone, I dumped the water all over my floor. So I've had a bad experience banging my head and spilling stuff today. So this is why I need Nancy here. But it's time for the random question. And so here we go. Wally, take that.
So what is this? I don't know.
You just pull a question out and then you read it. You get one shot at this. You don't get to dig back in there. So you read the question, you answer it first, and then I have to answer it as well. Could be serious. Could be funny. Could be who knows what.
Tell us a time when your first impression of a person was completely wrong. Tell us about it and how did it resolve?
Mm.
Well, that's a good one. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. My first impression of a person.
The time when your first impression of a person was wrong, and how did you resolve it?
Well, you know, I've never been a big fan of Justin Bieber, so I never liked his music until I was in the Netherlands, and I couldn't, and for some reason, my iPod wasn't working, and I turned on the radio, and there was a song came on. I'm thinking, oh, that's really cool. And then I contacted my kids, because I normally do that when I travel, and they said, that's a Justin Bieber song. So there you go. More seriously,
I wasn't sure that Justin Bieber would ever come up in this show.
There you go.
But so, here we go.
So, which leads me to one of my favorite jokes. When my daughter was a huge Justin Bieber fan, because she was a teenager when he came, you know, was singing. And we were making fun of his songs. My son and I were, and, she was getting very upset, and, highlight why, my son didn't like Justin Bieber. He said, you know, basically he only has one good song and I don't like that one either. So, let's see, anything else? I mean, I think a lot of times with work, the first time you meet somebody, it's kind of like, oh, this guy is really, really difficult, particularly when I travel a lot. Because a lot of times in the past, when I travel, I would just meet somebody and then I will never see them again. So they can be polite, having a bad day, so they're not having a good time, et cetera. I think in one case, I was in Edinburgh, all right? Mm-hmm. Edinburgh, Scotland.
Edinburgh. You got to say it correctly. Edinburgh.
Edinburgh. Hey.
We're not Scottish. We're not going to say it right. We're from Indiana.
I'm Welsh, so I got a free pass. Oh, okay. Say what I want to, right? So
say it in Welsh.
It takes too long. Okay. There's so many syllables there. So, and then I think some of your listeners will probably just hang up on us.
Right? Probably. So, but, they're listening on their phones, which some of them do because it's a podcast.
There you go.
Go ahead.
What I went there. The lady was very standoffish, you know. Yeah. Even though we agreed to agenda, it was kind of, you know, you can't see this, you can't do that, et cetera. And I was feeling like, oh, this is going to be one of those terrible things happens. And then during lunchtime, she came in with the cake. She said, hey, I realized I was told, before you came that, this was your birthday. And I'm like, yeah, it is. And the reason I chose my birthday to come there is because they kept saying that you can't come, until the end of the year. And my birthday's in November. They said, well, I know you can't come because it's around Thanksgiving. I'm like, I got you. I'll come during that time. All right.
So, right.
And she's like, you know, here's a birthday cake. I hope you have some fun with it, et cetera. And, when I started, I guess, joking and laughing with her about it, she lightened up a little bit more. And so, afterwards, I actually went back the next year. There's another story that goes with this, but I won't talk about that. So it's a wonderful birthday event that happened after. I went back. We usually go back every 2 years. A colleague of mine was supposed to go back, and she said, no, you can't go. We want Wayne to come back. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't think.
Oh, she asked for you.
Yeah. And so I went there, and she's like, I probably left a really bad first impression. The thing is, you asked really direct questions. I didn't know how to deal with that. And I said, well, that's what I've been told. All right. And the thing is, when I gave you a response, you kind of gave me like, really? Is that what you're really trying to say? So she said, you held me accountable. Yeah. Right. And I'm not used to that from an auditor. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, well, thank you. She goes, I think after serving you cake, and I said, I wasn't quite sure that was a bribe or not, but it worked. But she said, yeah, you know, so I still actually hear from her once in a while. Mm. I see her on Facebook sometimes and other social media, and either she'll reach out to me or reach out to her and say, hey, how things are going. All right. She's like, oh, that's
very cool.
It's my American friend. So,
well, your story reminded me of a story from the beginning of my career in industrial sales. I wasn't in sales yet. I was an inside salesperson and I was just beginning. And this isn't answering the question yet because I'm just kind of going off of one of your comments, but oh man, I didn't really know what I was doing.
Like now.
Well, like now. Yeah. like most of the things in my life, I just don't know what I'm doing.
We know that, but we're.
I didn't know what I was doing when I asked you to be on this show. That's for sure.
It was a big mistake.
We had one customer who was like the big customer.
Yeah.
And when he would call in, he always asked for Jimmy. Jimmy was my operations manager. And I would answer the phone and, is Jimmy there? And the thing with this guy was, the later it got in the week and the later it got in the day and the more stressful the situations were, the higher pitched his voice went.
Oh, wow.
And keep in mind, he was worth hundreds of thousands of dollars to my company. Back then, this is the 80s, so that's a lot of money back then. So he calls in one afternoon, probably a Friday, about 4 o'clock.
Was his voice sounding like helium?
And he goes,
on helium.
Can I speak to Jimmy? And I said, just a moment, ma'am. This is Stan. And my heart went like, I'm like, oh no, I'm in trouble. I'm sorry. I apologize. And I thought, oh no, I don't know what's going to happen to me now. But as bad as that was, in a few weeks, I proved myself to Stan. And so then he started.
You took helium and started talking about this as well. Yeah,
I just went up a few octaves. So
are you mocking me? No, you said that.
Stan, how can I help you? I think he would have known I was maybe making fun of him. Yeah. But, he was an important guy for the company.
Yeah.
He was an important guy for his company. He was the buyer of critical parts. And I apologized. I was very humble about it. I got him taken care of. I got better at my job.
And he sucker punched you.
And no.
Okay.
Actually, pretty soon he would call and he would still ask for Jimmy. But if Jimmy wasn't available, he'd ask for Mike.
Oh, that's cool.
So I became his second person and I took care of him and I got along just fine. So that's kind of a situation where my first impression was one thing, but ultimately it was more my first impression to him that changed over time. When you said your first one was Justin Bieber, I thought of Shaquille O'Neal because I used to, not because of his singing, but because I didn't like Shaquille O'Neal when he was a basketball player. I didn't like him.
Why's that?
Well, because he usually beat the tar out of the Pacers.
That's true.
I was a Pacer fan.
True.
And I didn't like anybody who beat the tar out of the Pacers.
But
I always felt like he just traveled. I felt like he traveled when he got the ball. And I felt like the refs kind of gave him, breaks. That's
almost the NBA, though.
Yeah, it kind of is. If you're really big in the NBA, you get away with it.
Well,
but now my impression of him is completely different. I think he is a tremendous person. He really cares about people. He's very giving. He'll go to like a home improvement store and randomly buy somebody their washer and dryer or their refrigerator or whatever. He takes care of people. And I think he's turned into his persona now after sports is giving me a much more favorable.
And he's a Dodgers owner.
Is he really?
Yeah. So see.
Well, there it all went out the window. Now I don't like him anymore. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I had a poor first impression of Shaquille O'Neal, but since then I have grown to appreciate him.
Well, I did give you a musician, so I think that's fair. You did entertainment and then work related as well.
Yeah, and I did have a work related one that was more along the lines. I was told when I started my sales job, my last sales job, that there was a customer in Kentucky that didn't like men. She doesn't like men. She won't like you. She won't get along with you. And I found that to be the exact opposite. So I had a very good relationship with her. We got along great. I think it's all about how you treat people, ultimately.
I agree.
So, yeah, good. Cool. Well, Wally, thank you so much for being on the podcast. It's been fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's almost like our conversations anyway. I wasn't quite expecting this, but it was fun.
Our conversations are always a little bit off the hook. So
they are. Anytime
we're not putting on an act for you. This is how we actually talk to one another on a regular basis.
Yes.
So it's been fun. Usually there's somebody else here to take the abuse.
Yes.
But usually Dana, I'm sorry to say, Dana takes a lot of abuse from both of us sometimes.
Yeah.
And she's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
So
Well, so is Nance. I miss Nancy. So Nancy and I go back to.
Yeah, sure. Nancy will punch me.
Yeah.
No, she won't. No, she won't. I'm just, yeah. Wally and Nancy go way back.
High school. So 13, 14 years old. Yeah. So I've been good friends since then.
Yeah. And so I appreciate you being on. And if we, you know, if this turns out really, really well and people love it, then you never know. Maybe we'll do it again.
Maybe. If so, yes, that'd be great. If not, it's okay. Thank you for giving this is my first time doing a podcast. So thank you for the opportunity. So I hope everybody enjoyed it. If not, I can understand why. So
yeah, we heard ourselves, so we know.
That's right. So
hopefully your first impression was better than we thought.
But I do appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
And who let the dogs out? So with the underwear on their heads. Okay, a reminder about my books. I have books, folks. So I have the Cutter's Notch Trilogy, Abandoned Hope, Nozomi's Battle, Reckless Abandon, Cutter's Notch Interludes. I have my devotional book, Loving Out Loud. And I have the one that Wally actually liked.
Yes.
Which is The Purveyor of Death.
I liked it. It was good. So
I didn't ask him to review it on here. I'm afraid of what he would say. But he did say he liked it. So that's, and he gave me a good review online. So that was really cool. So folks, don't forget about my books. I would really appreciate it if you go to Amazon and buy them. Or if you're one of those folks that doesn't really like Amazon, I get it. So go to your local bookstore and say, hey, order them in. They can order my books. Any local bookstore can order my books. So please tell them to do that.
If I can do a plug, support your local bookstore.
Absolutely. In fact, I've got a local bookstore in Nashville, Indiana that now has my books in stock. Very cool. Fallen Leaf Books, Nashville, Indiana has Michael DeCamp's books in stock. Irvington Vinyl and Books in Irvington, Indiana has Michael DeCamp's books in stock.
Your books are in vinyl?
No, but they sell vinyl there too. And also they have a really cool room that's just VHS tapes. It's this whole room full of classic VHS tapes.
Even the chairs you sit on, the VHS tapes?
I don't know. Okay. You can go check it out.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Just, you know, say, hey, I want to unrewind here. Okay. So, the other thing I'll plug right now is my other podcast. I do have two podcasts. So I've got this one and I have the Love Mentalism podcast, which is focused on learning to love God and love your neighbor instead of beating up on your neighbor and trying to control your neighbor. It's about loving your neighbor. So check out that podcast. And then lastly, I put some stuff up on redbubble.com. So if you're curious about my Henry the Preacher comics or some of my love mentalism stuff, you can get some actual merchandise with that stuff, redbubble.com. So anyway, folks, thank you for joining us on this episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast. We'll catch you next time. See you later.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast. Your hosts have been Michael and Nancy DeCamp. Michael is the author of several fantasy thriller novels and short stories that can be found on Amazon or ordered through your local bookseller. Visit www.authormicheldecamp.com to learn more. His most recent release, The Purveyor of Death, Doc Moon Book 1, is a classic young adult horror novel and the first book in a new series. It's guaranteed to keep you turning pages. Nancy is Michael's number one fan with a love and appreciation for creativity everywhere. The Cutter's Notch podcast is available through most podcast listing providers. Subscribe to catch each new episode as it drops. You can reach us by sending an email to michael@authormicheldecamp.com. Join us again on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.